Welcome to the Lifetime Body Podcast, where science meets common sense and where you can achieve peak performance at any age. Join me, physical therapist and author John Zombro, and my fabulous co-hosts and guests. Let's dive into the secrets of human performance, fitness, and longevity. Hey guys, we are back with another exciting episode of the Lifetime Body Podcast. I'm your host, John Zombro, here with my co-host, the amazing, charming PK, the incomparable. And this is episode number 62, Should You Work Through Pain?
Jay-Z, good to be here. What's the musical accompaniment? We have some sort of just a blood-curdling Megadeth sort of. What do you got for us today?
You know, right at this very moment, I've got nothing. But since you've teed me up, I'm going to think about it and try to inject that into the show as we roll along.
Fair enough. Well, set it up then. The episode's entitled "Should You Work Through Pain?" What are we talking about today? How did we get here? How did this get on your radar?
It frequently comes down to this. If it hurts, should I push into or through my discomfort? Mm-hmm. Or would I be best served to either avoid moving in that direction, the direction of the pain, or possibly even moving in the exact opposite direction? That's the question. Mm-hmm. And so let's take a dive into that subject and see if we can apply some science and some common sense to look at the directionality as it relates to pain.
Interesting. This is, it is bringing up several different things that, you know, obviously we have injuries and pain, but what's popping into my mind is, and we'll discuss, obviously we're going to get deeper into this, but it's that, you know, you're pumping iron, right? Or you're watching someone pump iron, you know, maybe we're looking at The Rock and it's obviously he's in excruciating pain and he's fighting through it to get those gains and to get all swole, right? So there is a delicate mixture of what kind of pain it is, when's the right time? Because sometimes the answer to that is you want to actually lean into it, push through it. You need the pain to have your muscles grow. So anyway, that's what's in my mind right now, so I'm excited to learn more. Take me down the path.
Yeah, so maybe that's the first point of qualification.
Sure.
To say pain or just the discomfort of effort. Mm. You know, that's kind of another category that we should get into, but for today's show, we're really talking more about the pain of injury or the pain, the signal that you get from your body. You know, this doesn't seem right versus, you know, like you said, The Rock, he's slapping another couple 45-pound plates on the bar and just going, you know, sure, full beast mode.
The Rock or you, and you're in your gym.
slapping a couple 10-pound plates on. Yeah, but okay. I'm slapping them on nonetheless. You know, let's be sure about that.
Absolutely.
So pain is a personal experience, mm-hmm, and it has many categories and descriptions. And what we probably should do as we move along and qualify is rule out acute extreme pain, you know, that's due to serious injury or emergent medical conditions. You know, like, you know, you sprained your ankle, that's an acute injury type of pain, and there's lots of examples. And also, let's rule out things like a headache or having, you know, various forms of abdominal pain or other almost like medically, you know, related conditions. We're not going to talk about that kind of pain today. Instead, we're going to focus on orthopedic or mechanical pain. Mm-hmm. And that exists primarily in the muscles and joints. And it's really the type of pain that is sensitive to specific activities or positions.
I like that. Okay, so that definitely narrows it down for me and puts it in a context that makes sense. So I guess the next question that pops into my mind is, if you have either of those types, we're talking about muscles and joints, that's brought on by a specific activity or position, what are the considerations when you should think about moving into that pain, in your opinion?
Yeah, so let's say you should move into the pain or in the direction that, mm-hmm, seems to reproduce the pain. when you are sure that you've got some, you know, restricted tissue, we talked about that, you know, a couple episodes ago, mm-hmm. that needs to have its mobility restored. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a mild amount of soreness with a truly stiff tissue as you're restoring its mobility, that can be accepted.
Got it. Okay. So that's a really good example. What are some other situations where we should move into the pain?
Well, you know, here at the Lifetime Body, we're all about the inner beast, you know, and so you're unleashing your inner beast, but you're going to get in tune with it. And so when your instincts, whatever you want to call them, you know, these primal senses that you have tell you this seems right. It seems right. You know, maybe you're working out and you're warming up and loosening up. And we've used those terms before. Things start to get better and easier and the discomfort starts to fade. Okay, that's a good time to keep moving in that direction and work right. through your quote unquote pain or discomfort.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. I'm making a list. What's the third item on that list?
How about when whatever you're doing, in other words, the direction that you're moving your body or a limb, is not reproducing or creating extreme symptoms? You know, if it's kind of like you're getting, you know, the firewalker sensation that you've got to spring back from, it's like, that's probably not something to work through.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there a fourth item on this list?
I'd say, as you're always constantly monitoring this inner beast and assessing what you're doing, if you're starting to notice nearly immediate improvement in function as you're moving, oh, I gained a little bit. Oh, I'm gaining a little more. Okay, fine. Keep doing that. That's not anything that we would discourage a person from doing.
I like it. And one thing that always helps me is when we take it out of the sort of theoretical and we use some examples. So give me a couple of examples when it's a good idea to be moving into the pain to kind of help me put this into the real world.
So let's say we have an injury, you know, so we're post-injury or a post-surgical condition. And keep in mind, a lot of people don't realize this. Surgery is an injury. Hmm. It's an injury inflicted on your body by the surgeon. Now, obviously, there are, you know, sure. goals for that. But nonetheless, if that injury of any type is into the later scab as opposed to bleeding or early scar phase, what's happening is your body is going through what's called tissue remodeling. Mm-hmm. You know, cells are, you know, laying down collagen and there's some real unique things that are happening. That's a great time to kind of inch along or tweak into that. And so that, the concrete example would be, you know, we have a person who has had a knee surgery. They're healing. It's looking good. It's not excessively inflamed, mm-hmm. but the knee only bends so far. You know, it's kind of stiff and mildly painful to do that. Well, we actually would want to carefully work into the pain. And over time, both two things are going to happen. The limb's going to go farther and the pain is going to be obliterated.
That's a really good example. That's very tangible. Is there another example that you give us that doesn't fall into that injury or surgery situation?
Yeah, so let's say you have a restricted area in your body that's somewhat immobile, you know, could be from a chronic habit or a position, such as prolonged sitting, which we do in this world, tends to tighten the hip flexors or shorten the muscles that are in the front of the hip that run from the spine down to the femur. And you could get up and notice, gosh, to straighten up my legs or extend my hip, it feels, it's kind of stiff, it's kind of sore, slightly painful, you know, may not be acutely so, but that's a great example of where you want to move through that. You know, go ahead and work into it and you'll notice those things we talked about that it will become easier, you'll go further and the discomfort will go down.
Got it. Okay. Now, I think that I want to flip over this coin. On the contrary, when's it a good idea to avoid pushing into that discomfort or pain?
I say almost any area that has an acute injury. So, you know, like say it was the ankle sprain, for example, that we talked about earlier. There's a presence of high inflammation We've got that bleeding phase. The tissues are damaged. They don't need more insult added to that injury. That's when, you know, and our instincts are good in the beast to temporarily rest and protect, you know, that area. So that's definitely the first thing. I wouldn't encourage anyone to like, if you just sprained your ankle, you almost instinctively would not, you know, get up on the side of your foot and bounce up and down to test it to see if it's feeling better, because it won't be right away.
Right. But I mean, you say that instinctually, but sometimes we're not that good. I mean, I'm just thinking about situations where I may have done something idiotic like that. Maybe more in my youth, but you're definitely saying acute injury like that, the presence of inflammation, the bleeding phase. I can't remember what that episode was. Maybe you can put it in the description, but we talked specifically about sort of those different phases, and that was really helpful to kind of take it, you know, and put it, what's going on internally in the body. All right. When else, when is it a good idea to avoid pushing into discomfort?
Well, again, this seems obvious, but even if you don't have an acute injury, if moving in the direction of your pain makes you worse, so it just feels worse, and there's a gut feeling, back to the beast and the instinct, that something's wrong, and it tends to cause a flare-up of a problem in most cases. So that's a very clear message of the body. Kind of goes back to what you were talking about. You know, we've all done, let's say, idiotic things. Most of the time we're doing idiotic things when our rational mind is overriding the inner beast and we've lost our instinctive wisdom.
Gotcha. Is there another item on this list of one to avoid, like pushing into that discomfort?
Yeah, when your movement pattern is a train wreck. And so, can you picture those, what are those things called? Those air things that they have at car dealerships that they go up and down? Well, that's not necessarily optimal. An optimal example of how a human should move. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got all sorts of issues mechanically. So I would say if you have a lot of movement dysfunction and your patterning is less than optimal, it's not efficient, it's injury prone, don't blow through it and keep working. Instead, dial it back to a very small range of motion. Work in the area you can control and that you have mastery over. You own that motion, and then gradually advance your motion out, always with this higher quality perspective.
Is that tricky to self-identify as having a jacked up movement pattern? This seems like something that even if you're trying to pay attention to it, we get used to how we move, and it's easier to recognize in another than it is in ourselves. Is that something you experience?
Yeah, sometimes the eyeglasses are more telling than the mirror, say it that way. But yeah, and you know, occasionally a person, if we can catch them before they have pain, we can help them even more. But right. If you don't have pain, you don't have motivation, it's hard to convince a person that what they love doing, they might not be doing it optimally for their body.
Sure.
But yeah, there is that. And so
maybe another way of saying that, John, would be if you have through your movement, and it's a movement that involves a pattern, if you're feeling some pain, then it's an opportunity to evaluate that movement pattern, because it could be the pattern itself that got you there.
Hey, you awesome Lifetime Body listeners. I hope you're enjoying the content and finding it entertaining, as well as rich with pearls of peak performance wisdom that you can put to practical use in your life. If you'd like to work with me personally as your coach or physical therapist to achieve your goals, just head over to thelifetimebody.com and click on the Work with Coach Jay-Z menu item and discover how you can bring the secrets of wellness, productivity, and longevity to your group or business with informative, empowering workshops. Also, check out the Lifetime Body programs, which are easy to follow ebooks and courses. Learn about your unique athletic gifts and match your training up to fit your body type with Animal Fit. Unleash your inner beast and unlock your athletic potential. Or easily tune up your body composition with effortless weight loss by using the 10 simple, research-proven steps to your ideal weight. And get the healthy workstation and discover how to employ ergonomics to make your job work for your health.
Do you enjoy a good story about applying cutting-edge diet and exercise strategies to real-life people? Then check out the Science Project book series, which shares the experiences and successes that happen with the application of optimal living and advanced training. All of these life-changing products and services, and many other totally free resources, are available at thelifetimebody.com. And be sure to subscribe to the weekly Peak Performance Update, which keeps you real-time on all the latest releases from TLB. Get started achieving your peak performance today.
Here's a big picture question. What value lies in moving the opposite direction of the pain? So this is the kind of the completely flip side of the coin. We've identified it. We recognize that it's there. Talk to me about what I get from seeing that and saying, okay, I'm going to go the other way.
Yeah. So we go from, hey, this is a type of pain or discomfort we want to move into and work through. And then there's, oh, maybe there's something we want to avoid. Now, your question is, do we have situations where the right thing to do with discomfort is to totally move the opposite way, move mm-hmm. or position? And yeah, and so that's what I like to call the reversal. Or in other words, we do motions or positions that are in reverse or opposition to that which is irritating us.
This is interesting. Okay, keep going.
So this is the key when there is less of a true stiffness or tissue restriction and more of an inflammatory condition that very position or activity or repetitive loading scenario was causing. So it's not a mobility problem. You can get to, you can go through the motion where the pain is. It just hurts to do that, and therefore you shouldn't. It's an irritated tissue problem. And so to offload the tissue, we back out of it and go the other way, which actually can cause a reduction in, let's say, tensile loads and an introduction of compressive loads, and which in this case may be desirable.
Gotcha. So what are some examples of this?
So I see this a ton in my athletes, especially the cyclists and triathletes that I coach, the ones who do time trial, type riding, and they use aero bars. That's a really down, low and forward position. So they have a prolonged flex lumbar spine, low back, an extended cervical spine. They have to lift their head up to be able to see where they're going, rounded shoulders, all those things. The bike, as wonderful as it is, pulls them into an undesirable posture for their upper body. And so over time, they all will tend to complain of back pain, neck pain, shoulder pain. It's mm-hmm. almost invariable. And it's not totally that, well, you just have to toughen up and do enough of it and get conditioned. There's a small amount of tolerance that comes with that. But in reality, it's a prolonged end range position. And we've already talked in previous episodes how the human body's not real crazy about staying at end range. We can go to end range, but we just don't want to live there, for hours sake. So what I have those folks do is I'll have them spend a few minutes lying prone, which is on their stomach, and it automatically just reverses the back bend to a back arch or the flex back to an extended spine. And then I'll have them do some chest opening type of stretches, cervical spine retractions, really simple things. We all know some of those exercises, but what we're doing is we're offloading the tissue. And this is a really cool thing. We're resetting the central nervous system back to the middle of range.
This is interesting. This is something that I have some experience with. You schooled me on this last summer. I was riding my mountain bike a lot and you said, all right, you get some tightness. Let's do a reversal. And it is, I'm not going to say magic, but it felt so, it was so immediate, the body resetting and that central nervous system sort of like getting back to neutral, that it was amazing, but it was also the first time I'd ever heard that. So this seems like an idea that is almost natural when you practice it, but I just hadn't been exposed to that. So is this something that just isn't out there or?
Well, it's where science, sure. It's science meets common sense again. And and so we know, that your common sense tells you, oh, I've been bent one way, mm-hmm. I'll bend the other. And then scientifically, that's going to, change some of these loads. And it gets into this whole thing. Because that's free and easy, a lot of people are like, well, wouldn't it be better if you know, I got some various manual treatment and some electro modalities and electric stim and ultrasound. Wouldn't, you know, no, actually, yeah, this is the free, easy stuff is actually exactly what your body needs. It's just not sexy. And so sometimes the mind gets a bit mixed up, you know, regarding what's going on.
So, but I have to, I don't have to push back, but so this makes sense to me. If I buy a poster, you know, your Megadeth poster, right? And it's rolled up and then I get it home. I like lay it out and then I roll it the wrong way before I put, so to kind of even it out. But especially when you think about that sort of riding your bike, your lower back feels tight. It feels tight. So it maybe it isn't common sense necessarily if you're not exposed to reverse it. It feels like, you know, maybe I need to stretch that out more. So I guess ultimately, once exposed to the idea, it does make common sense, but it's just an idea that, you know, everyone out there, if you're experiencing some pain, a reversal could be something that could be super beneficial. Maybe I had never considered it before.
Yeah, well, this is great because you kind of got my wheels rolling a bit in. There may even be yet another show that kind of looks at that concept of tightness as you described it. So in other words, if you have had this prolonged flexed back from riding the bike, there's some tissue micro tearing that's going on. You're getting some inflammation. There's pain. Well, then what happens is the central nervous system says, because that's the inner beast, it says, I have to protect this body. So it starts to dial up muscle tone and muscle tension to contract against that forward bent position. Mm-hmm. So it's trying to pull you back. Of course, you know, in that position, you know, that's not going to happen. So what you feel is you're feeling a real sensation. It's kind of a form of muscle tightness, but I'd almost say it's a higher contractile state in those muscles. So interestingly enough, when you do the reversal, you take away what's called a noxious stimulus and it calms down. And so then the central nervous system or the brain dials back that output to keep tightening up those muscles and the muscles relax reflexively. So it's really interesting. You know, there may be that initial instinct like, oh gosh, I think these muscles are kind of stiff. I want to stretch, but that would go back to what we were talking about earlier. That would reproduce pain. So we wouldn't want to do that. And of course, that's a lesson we've all probably learned. But then if you do this reversal and you move the opposite and it's like, oh, not only does my pain go away, the muscles relax because they're being shortened back to normal resting length or mid-range or what we call, you know, the mean on the mobility stability.
Interesting. Let's use another example. No, I'm serious because I mean, I want it like it makes sense in the back and the cycling and the reversal in another area of the body. Where could a reversal, where could we see that and benefit from recognizing it and applying it?
Oh, sure. And this is, again, very common in fitness enthusiasts, athletes all around, you know, gym rats, whatever you want to say. Most popular exercise in the world is the bench press.
Okay, so your favorite as well, because you just throw up weight.
I do a little bit of benching.
Don't listen to him, folks. He crushes. Carry on.
Okay,
carry
so let's say, you know, a person develops shoulder pain with bench pressing, primarily in the anterior shoulder, and that's very common. What this may indicate is there's an over-recruitment into what we call an adduction pattern, or adduction would be kind of, you know, folding forward and closing together and compressing, you know, the chest and shoulders. And so what that does over time is it creates an alteration in how the shoulder joint functions, the shoulder girdle, and it creates what's known as impingement forces. Mm-hmm. So the shoulder, actually some of the tissue, particularly like the bursa and the rotator cuff, are getting pinched, and that's impingement, is just a fancy word for pinching. Mm-hmm. So if we have that happening with this over recruitment into adduction, we simply put into the conditioning program, any well-designed program, some exercises of reversal. So as opposed to a position of reversal like we used with say the cyclist example, now we're doing some rowing exercises, various you know, angles or positions for rows, face pulls, things where your hands are pulling back and the shoulder girdle is moving opposite what the bench press was causing. And that'll oftentimes balance out the function so that the force couples of the muscles when moving are, again, properly aligning the joint.
Got it. Now that rounds the picture out for me. The thing that I'm really thinking about is that it has so much to do with the idea of understanding who you are, your body type, your inclination, and getting an objective outside opinion to kind of help us all triangulate the details and figure out what's going on. And I think that, acutely with pain, it gives us a chance to identify that. So I want you to take this home. What are the most important considerations when we're answering the question for all of ourselves? Should I work through pain or should I not?
The most important considerations. Whatever we do, and this applies to life, I think, but I'm going to stick with training right now.
Is this a life, Pearl?
It's coming.
Get your pens out, sharpen your pencils. Let's do it.
Evaluate the effectiveness of what you are doing. So,
cool, man.
We don't even need to explain this, but in other words, if you're training or it's causing you discomfort, okay, well, let's think about that and maybe try to find a way or get some professional help to solve that problem. And then also, let's say you're on an intervention path and you're doing something which is, highly purported to be effective and recommended, but it's not working for you. Evaluate. And that's really just a key concept. I see it a lot. And again, I think there's that split between recreational athletes and professional athletes. Obviously, professional athletes can afford, the best coaches and, facilitators on many levels. Whereas a lot of times in our recreational athlete world, we're flying, man. We're flying by the seat of our pants. We're picking up some stuff here and there, making some stuff up. There's nothing wrong with being creative, but ultimately we need to always be looking at, well, what is it that I'm trying to get out of this thing? And is what I'm doing delivering that outcome?
Absolutely. And pain, that's a stimulus.
No bueno.
I mean, that's a moment to take stock. Okay. Keep going.
Yeah. And I'm going to bounce because you really struck on something. It's like, okay, we are humans and these beasts respond to pain for the most part. So pain can be a motivator for most people, but really you don't have to wait until you have pain to get awesome. And if you want to improve your function, your performance, how you're moving, evaluate it, look at it yourself. But if you're not getting what you want, work with somebody, a physical therapist, coach, trainer, doesn't have to be me. It could be. But really that's where it's at. Save yourself time, energy, money, and pain by getting stuff right, before, the wheels fall off. So anyway, that most important consideration, we want to evaluate effectiveness. But once you've done that, if there is no change, if what you're doing is not seeming to get things better, think it through. And make sure you're headed in the right direction, whatever reasons you can come up with, and then explore cautiously two V words, variety and vigor. Mm-hmm. So what that means is, okay, mix it up a little bit. If how you're moving to, restore your function isn't quite there, slightly change the pattern, the direction, the position of the rest of the body, whatever that is. And then vigor. If it's like, it's not really hurting at all. Maybe I just need to do a bit more of it. Just be careful. But, sometimes harder can be better when it's applied intelligently.
Absolutely. What if what you're doing is making the pain worse?
Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly.
Yeah. Like, oh, no, you pull back on the reins.
Sure thing.
If you're going down into a tunnel of fire and agony, let's pull back from that pretty quickly. So, always use your judgment, folks, because, you are blessed and evolved and born with these instincts. And And we sometimes lose track of them because we get so motivated.
Yes.
So,
that's what I was going to say is that, if things are getting worse, do you think you really have to lay it out there? Like just slow it down, pull back on the reins? Because the reason I ask that is that you've experienced this as a coach and physical therapist for, many decades. You've actually had to give that advice when people are getting the information and just continuing to hammer down. They're not doing it naturally.
Yeah, and that gets it's deep sure. psychology, because motivation can trump a lot of things, and you can override cognitively. Mm. And so if a person really, really loves something, really wants to do it, really believes that it's good for them, gives them benefits in many ways, sometimes they'll just bash into the wall over and over. And sometimes we just got to say, you know what, if you move 3 feet to the left, you can go around that wall.
Oh, buddy. Okay, well, talk to me about what if things are getting better.
Patience, grasshopper, is what I would say. And you've got a little bit of David Carradine look today going on. So, hey, right on, man. If things are getting better, maybe don't change. Maybe don't always say overthink it. More might not always be better. So just hang on, assess and reassess, adjust slightly if necessary. But if you're headed in the right direction, stay in the boat and on that path, and you'll make it to the dock.
Absolutely. I'm still reeling from, you look a little like David. What age, David Carradine? Good God. All right. Well, take it home. Take it home.
Okay. John. So, I'm sure there's some photos of a young David Carradine.
Get out of here. Don't even touch it.
Okay. So here's my final statement on all of this stuff as it relates to pain.
Yes.
This is not medical advice. So, as you would, if you're a listener, you probably already knew that. But, we're really not giving medical advice on the show. And we really encourage everyone to work with their healthcare providers and also to use their own innate, intrinsic common sense when you're dealing with anything that's not comfortable. So whatever you heard on this show, take it with a grain of salt, or many if you're exercising in the heat at this time, as many of us are. And that's what I've got to say about that.
Very, very nice. Would you like to give us a preview of what's coming up? Any peek around the corner? What tasty morsel are we going to feast on in the coming weeks?
Feasting on tasty morsels of peak performance, man. I'm loving that. We gotta put that in. We've been getting some great ratings and reviews. Thank you for that, folks. But instead of sharing that with you, keeping the show somewhat brief, I'll give you a preview of another episode that's coming up in the future, very near. And we're going to discuss form and technique. How we move and why quality totally matters with those movement patterns. All about form, function, and fantastic fun. F cubed. No, F to the fourth.
Can't wait. Everyone, thanks for tuning in. If you like what you're hearing, please do rate and review 5 stars. 5 stars, it really helps. There's no shame in asking you to do that, because it just gets our message out to a greater audience. If so, and we appreciate you tuning in. Catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
As always, thank you so much for joining us on the Lifetime Body Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, we'd really appreciate it if you could take a moment to leave us a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to the show. And if you've already done that, we sincerely appreciate your support and your being a part of our growing community that achieves peak performance at any age.